Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM and the IC7100. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/Ham Nation. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Ham Nation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 63, September 5th, 2012, after Isaac and the ICOM contest.
Well, good evening from a considerably drier Picayune, Mississippi than we had last week when Hurricane Isaac was coming through. It's Ham Nation time. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. We have the standard cast of idiots with the exception of Bob, K9EID. He is out on the road tonight doing his music thing or whatever it is that Bob does. Tonight we have George Thomas, W5JXD up in Jackson, Mississippi. George, how are you tonight, my friend?
Hi, Don. That's W5JDX. Doing fine here tonight. Looking forward to a big show. We've got some more information on the contest coming up a little later on, and I start building a shortwave radio.
I don't know why I always blow your call sign, but it seems like I do that all the time. I am so sorry. And we have Gordon West. I'm not even going to attempt his out on the left coast. Gordon, come on in tonight, my friend. How are you tonight?
We are here, Don, and good to see that you've dried out, and hi to everybody on Ham Nation. Back to you, Don.
Yeah, we're dry as well. Let's pick up Cheryl, K9BIK, I believe is right, up in Illinois. Is that right, Cheryl?
That's a Roger, Roger. Hi, Don. How are you? And welcome and greetings to everyone listening and watching and people in the chat room for our show, Ham Nation. We love having you here, and it's just been a great thing to meet with everybody. And Don, I hope that everything is good on your end since you were down in that that area where Isaac was. How's it by you? Back over to you.
Yeah, we're doing a lot better than we were last week, that's for sure. The funny thing about the storm, I've got some great video for you tonight from my property here in Mississippi. I got up Thursday morning and shot it. The thing about the storm is it sat over us for 60 hours. It got here and it just stalled and just dumped and dumped. And dumped. So the rivers were outrageous. There was a dam north of us that was on the verge of breaking, and people that didn't flood in Katrina or have never flooded out. The interstates flooded, which, you know, the I-10 actually flooded over and was closed heading towards Baton Rouge, and that's a major hurricane evacuation route, and that can't happen. So there's some major armchair quarterbacking to be done, but we'll get into that in a little bit. So anyway, hope everyone's doing all right tonight. It's a beautiful night here in South Mississippi. Let's go ahead and get right into the show. Bob can't be here in person, but we have some video of Bob's phased 75-meter dipoles at his QTH. So if we can go ahead and run that, let's get to it.
We have just completed the installation of a 75-meter phased array antenna system consisting of a pair of coaxial dipoles mounted atop a pair of 55-foot telephone poles. We put them in an inverted V fashion, and the poles are 64 foot apart. These are 500 foot from the operating position, fed with RG-213. In order to make the antennas directive from east to west, we use a delay line of 43 foot here on 75 meters that's switched in and out of the driven element, either east or west. The downlead length is 126 foot. We take all of that coax, the downlead length, the 43-foot phasing delay line, and mounted them in a container, one of the plastic container boxes that we actually buried. And just the top of it shows. It's all sealed, so it's waterproof. But that's the way we get to switch all the components from 500 foot using one of the Amatron RCS-8V remote switches. It really works well. Take a listen to how we can get at least 10 to 20 dB difference east to west.
Like a lot of people do, mine's usually 3 inches or so. You know, that's just after I get done mowing it. And I know, you know, probably, you know, we get a dry day. I'm going to have to lay out there and mow. That's just all there is to it because, you know, if you leave it that high, when it starts growing in at all, it gets looking ragged pretty quick. So it's to that point now. And
the system really performs on weak signals. Take a listen as we switch to the direction they're coming from. Also note, the preamplifier makes no difference on 75 meters on this signal. The preamp will, of course, make the meter read higher, but in many cases, the preamplifier does not cause the weak signal to be more readable. Check it out.
Hey, Sue. Yeah, well, I see they introduced a big display on it, and I don't know if that is their form of a portable.
Here's some great sounding AM stations, and we were getting about 20 dB front to back.
When the leaves drop off, I'll start using it. Daryl, Bertson and Digital Audio Recorder, I need to do that too. That'd be nice to have. And I was going to mention to you too about your pictures with Fifi. I had sent that out to a few friends, and one of my cousins that lives.
Well, we were talking about your you yesterday with Brian. Brian, you know, the thought was that you could locate that remote receiver out at Brian's QTH. And, of course, by the way, if you have it out at Brian's QTH, you could use the internet.
In 1.0 VUW. Well, I'm going to need to go up on the hill and swing that log around to the west. Because you guys were off the back, apparently. I thought, I just didn't think about which direction anybody would be.
So. Great performance from just a couple of pieces of wire. You can do this. It's very simple. You need just three things. Of course, you need the antennas, but you need the delay line. You need the remote switch, and of course, then the download links. The RCS-8V from Ameritron makes it so easy, but the delay lines are important. They have to be exactly 43 foot on 75, 22.6 on 40, and 11.4 feet on 20 meters. The download links, both of them have to be exactly the same length, and all of that can be coiled up and put in that container box that you bury. Keep in mind, you can do this with regular wire dipoles. Just make sure they're exactly the same height and the spacing is correct. Have fun with this great technology of phased arrays.
That is some amazing stuff. Isn't that cool? That's just the neatest thing. Wow. I've got the room here at my place in Picayune, and that's... I think that's going to be on my short list of things to do. There's only two more things that, of course, you need for any kind of project like that that Bob didn't mention. It's time and money. Typically, you have one and and not the other, but that's the way it is with everything. Gordon, I think you've got some stuff for us. Your short shots out there from the left coast. Don't you go ahead and pick that up.
All right. Well, thanks, Don. And yeah, that was quite impressive. Okay, Alex, let's go ahead and roll the shots. These are some short shots of goodies that we recommend that you should have at your ham station. First of all, for those of you that sent for the ham instructor package, yes, they are available. And again, it's haminstructorsingular.com. Now, we've got a good one here. You see this blinking up and down in front of me. This comes from Edmunds Scientific, and here it is right here. And as I talk, it goes up and down. You'll enjoy that from Edmunds Scientific. Well, there's a cat. No, we don't recommend you go out and buy a cat, but if you have a pet, I'm going to show you some tags that come from ComSpec, the tone folks, and these tags are ideal for bugging your pet and being able to find them on 222 megahertz. Here are DSP, digital signal processing add-on speakers. If you have an old radio, you need one of these DSP speakers to bring it back up to par. So consider that. LED light bulbs. This comes from C. Crane. My shack has them. The important thing is, unlike CFLs or fluorescent, they are quiet at RF frequencies, and they're cool, too. All right, there's Pooch, and if you see that yellow tag on the bottom, that is his transponder. And again, it comes from ComSpec. There we go. And that little yellow tag there transmits anywhere from 2 to 5 blocks as a minimum. And you can pick it up on the 222 megahertz band with one of the transponder receivers from ComSpec, the tone folks. And that's what the receiver looks like, single sideband on the 222 megahertz band. Great for bugging your pets. In case your pet gets out, you'll be able to locate them quickly with this little T-Hunt receiver, com-spec.com. That's Chip Margelli with CQ Magazine. He's got the Heil headset. We certainly recommend the headset when doing public service work. Here, Chip and Gordo are doing a little get-together down at the beach for one of the big lifeguard events. And public service is always a good thing to have on hand for ham operators. And, of course, you can't have enough power, solar panels. But the reason I show you this shot was the panel did great, but the solar controller was terribly noisy on HF. So if you've got solar panels and you have a lot of HF noise, chances are it could be the solar controller. All right, our next shot here is a good way to clean out the DC noise coming through on your alternator of your vehicle mobile installation. And you can get these at automobile stereo stores for $5 to $8. They're a great way to clean up the DC input feeding your rig. This is 10 amps. You'll need 20 amps for an HF radio. And finally, you never know what you're going to find at a garage sale. They thought because the name was Fluke, it was sort of a fluky meter. Oh, my gosh. For $10, sometimes garage sales are good ways to get good stuff for your ham radio shack. So this is Gordo. And again, if you have any questions about any of those items that you saw, send me an email. And it's wb6noa@arrl.net. And, yep, there it is right on the screen. Thanks, Alex. And I'll get that information to you. So thanks so much for having me on board tonight. And Don, the dry Don, back to you.
Well, we just lost Don. I'm trying to get him back right now. So in the meantime, George, you want to take it?
Okay, George, yeah. Over to you.
Well, Don had a video here he was going to show us of some of his property after the hurricane came through last week. And Alex, if you'll go ahead and roll that, maybe Don will be back to wrap it up for us.
Here is a video I made of Hurricane Isaac, and we'll start off with a slideshow. This shows you the wide shot of where I am in relation to the city of New Orleans. You can see I'm about 50 miles northeast. Here is a wide shot of where we live. I'm down in the lower right corner. A little bit tighter in. Again, I'm in the lower right corner, and we'll overlay and show you pretty much who everyone is here. Dawn's brother, Dawn's parents, her Uncle John, KB5TQG, and me. And this will be the route that we take on the golf cart. That is my road that is 3/10 of a mile long. And pay attention to these ponds. They get interesting.
Well, good morning. Here it is. It's Thursday morning, the 30th, so the day after landfall of Hurricane Isaac. And it's about almost 7 o'clock in the morning, and I thought I'd take you on a little tour of the property as you hear the whirring of the generator behind me. So let's drive around and take a look, shall we? This will be our trusty steed today, the golf cart with the big old tires on it. So, not four-wheel drive, but
sure beats walking.
So, here we go. Go out through the front yard here. And we see some standing water. The big story is the pond. Yeah. Let's continue looking at the front yard here. So, yeah, we've
it's
got
a lake.
Good amount of water here in the front yard. As you can see.
Don's
uncle over here, KB5TQG. Oh, we've got some stuff floating, a little more rain coming in now. So anyway, this, let's go around by my backyard. This water is quite deep. But as much as I don't like living in a trailer, it's nice to have the elevation. It doesn't have to be quite deep before it gets into my house. And like the vehicles are okay here as well. The Firebird is tucked away safely in the garage. And if it gets really bad, of course, we've got the little red Jeep. So let's continue on around and we'll look at John's stuff. He's got some high water over here by this van. This is going to be an issue, I do believe.
Uh-oh. Doesn't look good, George.
That's not good at all. Got some issues here. The good news is this rain is supposed to eventually get out of here by, say, 12, 1 o'clock today, we're hoping. Now, you cannot even see where the pond is over here. There's a small pond over here, and it's actually right about here. But it's totally and completely out of its banks, and in fact, it's even, we're kind of driving over a dam right now is what we're driving over. And you can see it's completely, you don't want to drive over that way because all of a sudden you're in deep, deep water, and same here. That's about 6 or 7 feet there and about 14 feet on the other end. So we've got a lot of water here. Water drains naturally through there into the pond and then out that way. So that's the story there. Continue driving along the property here. Over towards the in-laws' place where they're on a little bit higher ground than we are. And you can see the tree that fell. Tree that fell last night, yesterday.
Lucky for that car, huh?
And I don't want to get stuck in here. I see Brett is stuck. My nephew's friend Brett. I do not want to get stuck. But here's the tree that fell. So, good thing that no cars were under here. Little bump as we go up over. This tree was actually damaged in Katrina, so we expected it to fall. Narrowly missing this golf cart. Everything appears to be okay over here. And we'll drive up to the front, just for grins, and see what the rest of the property looks like. Again, the rain is coming down pretty good, and here you can see a kind of a wider shot of situation with the pond, and I'm not even about to drive over there because I don't know where the edge is. So, best to stay on the road or where you can see grass in situations like this. And we'll continue on up through the front of the property. My driveway is a third of a mile long. So here's Don's brother's place. He looks okay. Just a little bit of high water here in the back. Risk of ruining my iPhone here, but it should be okay, just a little spray. Water here is fairly deep as you go around the curve. And again, you want to stay out of this ditch over here too. So we'll just roll around to the front. And yeah, we've got some pretty good water right here. Continuing on up to the front of the property. Not too bad. No trees are down, which is good. But a lot of standing water. And I'm awfully glad to have these big tires and this body lift jacked up 4-inch lift on this golf cart. We're rolling now, ain't we? And then back up to the front, and this is the road where we live on. Not too bad. We'll kind of peek up and down the front. So it's okay that way, and not too bad this way, just some tree litter on the road. So not too bad. And now we'll head back and see what it looks like from this angle. See about how deep it is. That's fairly deep water right here on the road. There we go. We're back out. Back to the house. Get inside. Put these dry clothes on, and now I've got to change them again because I'm completely soaked. Winds pushing the water from the south, and we've got the water coming in from the north, draining through the rivers and creeks and everything. So I don't expect this to get much better soon. Just feeling kind of bad for John. His vehicle's over here. So hopefully. I don't want to throw too much of a wake as I roll through here either, but he's used to this, unfortunately. We all are. But anyway, so we'll roll back up here and go inside and dry off a little bit. Lake Delta whiskey here. And here we are.
So there's the tour, and that is the golf cart. Sure was happy to have that. That was money well spent. Little better shot of the tree that fell by my father-in-law's. Again, that was damaged in Katrina, and we expected it to fall, but didn't know where it would fall. We figured it would fall over the driveway, and it did, and thankfully none of the vehicles were there, so that was good. And the view going in towards his house, and of course Jungle Tyler's got to... go out and have his fun. So we cut the tree up, and that's my father-in-law and my nephew's friend, Brett. We've cut the tree up, tying a chain around it, and now we're going to yank it out with the Jeep. Yes, the trusty Delta Whiskey Jeep. It's a toy and it's a tool, and this time it was a tool. And we cut it up pretty good and was able to drag it around the property and get it out of the way. We're going to let it dry out and use it as a bonfire for Halloween. So there you go. That's our experiences for Hurricane Isaac. Don't care to do it again anytime soon. No, I do not care to do that again anytime soon. And we also yanked Brett's truck out with a Jeep, so that was good. We were kind of in between rain bands there Thursday morning when I shot that. But the rivers are actually just now cresting. We got our power back later on that night because Dawn's uncle, John, KB5TQG, his wife is on oxygen, so we were put at the top of the list for getting our power back. And they came out Thursday night about 8 o'clock, and we got our power back. So that was good. Anyway, that's the video from Hurricane Isaac for here. Of course, it was much worse
The farther west towards New Orleans you went, like I said, it sat over New Orleans for 60 hours and dumped a ton of rain, and places that had never flooded before flooded this time, and there's a lot of things to be done. So that's what that looked like. Now, my internet dropped out. Alex, did we get to Leo's ICOM ad?
We did not.
Then why don't we do that now? Leo Laporte, W6TW2, please come in and join us on Ham Nation, my friend. Go ahead.
May I interrupt the hams in the... I know hams like to talk a lot, but you could just give me the floor for a minute or two. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Gordo. George, Amanda. I want to talk a little bit about our great sponsor, ICOM. You know I'm an ICOM fan. I don't know any better. All I got is the great ICOM radios here in my ham shack, thanks to Ray Novak, who hooked me up. Ham shank sounds like something that happens in prison. I got ham shanked. ICOM in 1995, it's almost two decades ago now, really changed the way hams think about mobile HF with the IC706. Since 95, the ICOM mobile HF radios have been performance. The performance HF radio of choice when you want to go mobile. And at the 2012 Tokyo Ham Fair, they did it again with the new IC7100. You can go HF and mobile. This is HF 6 meters, VHF, and UHF. Beautiful design. We probably have some images we can show you, keeping the user experience in mind. This all-mode radio, very powerful, very versatile. Of course, D-Star is built in along with a lot of other great features. So it could be mobile, but you could also use this as your base unit if you want, you know, all the big rig features without taking up a lot of footprint. Mrs. Ham will appreciate that as well. ICOM really does state-of-the-art stuff with the compact design. You'll love the way the controller is slanted a little bit, so it makes it very easy to view, particularly for mobile operations, but really even on the desk. Big LCD touchscreen interface. You just tap the screen to select, edit, and view settings. You'll find it so much easier to program. A great speaker built in inside the controller, so the audio is very easy to hear. It's a very high-efficiency speaker. I mean, I could go on and on the features. SSB, CW, AM, FM, RTTY decode. D-Star DV mode built in, so you don't need to get a D-Star module. It's already there. It supports the 70 megahertz band. Where 70 is open for amateur activities. Lower current consumption means cooler operation. The SWR meter function works for VHF and UHF bands. That's handy. They've got IFDSP filtering, noise reduction, and interference removal. Boy, they load this thing up. Brand new from the 2012 Tokyo Ham Fest, the IC7100. A mobile HF radio that can be that'll just look great on your desk as well. Now, here's the deal. If you want to know more, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. And you can find out more about the all-mode 7100 HF mobile radio and register for the weekly drawing. They've got T-shirts, hats, other swag. And, of course, congratulations to all the drawing winners from previous weeks. icomamerica.com/hamnation. Don, we want to thank you for filling in for Bob. Well done last week. He survived the hurricane. Back to Don and the gang and more. Ham Nation. Thank you, ICOM.
Thank you, Leo. Yeah, that 7100 looks like that's going to be quite the radio, and we're going to have Ray Novak from ICOM on the show a little bit later on to tell us some more about that. I have a 7000 in the Jeep. I've had three 706s, two of which I lost in Katrina. Love the ICOM HF radios. I'm going to have to do a video on my Jeep install on the 7000 because it's a really neat radio. And if you have a Jeep, a Jeep is probably the easiest vehicle in the world to do a ham radio install on. So let's go ahead and get into amateur radio news line before we carry on. This is report number 1829 and the headlines for tonight, Wednesday, September 5th, 2012. We've talked a lot about Hurricane Isaac. Came ashore just south of New Orleans exactly a week ago. Last Wednesday, August 29th, which was, of course, the seventh anniversary of the aforementioned Hurricane Katrina, caused widespread flooding and power outages, some of which are actually just now being restored. There are still some people with power out. We have sound of the amateur radio support activities in the full audio edition of this week's Amateur Radio Newsline, which you can find right now on arnewsline.org. Elsewhere in the ham radio world, the Radio Society of Great Britain reports that the team at 2 Oscar 12 Lima, the amateur radio station for the London Olympic and Paralympic Games, believes that they've now broken the world record for the number of QSOs by a special event station. As of 2142 UTC on August 21st, that station had logged contact number 47,791. 2012 Lima goes QRT September 9th at the end of the Paralympic Games closing ceremony, and the operators are fairly confident that they can achieve their target of 60,000 contacts. It's believed that the previous standing record for a ham radio special event station was held by that group that operated DQ2006X. That was during the 2006 World Cup. They were on the air from May 13th through July 16th, 2006. They made 47,790 contacts. Looking at the ham radio social scene, the ARRL has announced the organization will hold its 2014 National Centennial Convention in Hartford, Connecticut, July 17th to the 20th. That will mark 100 years of the ARRL's founding. That took place in the city of Hartford. And the theme for the centennial year is advancing the art and science of radio since 1914. You'll find more online at arrl.org/expo. Sunday morning, August 26th, the amateur radio world lost a gentle giant as Everett Gracie, WA6CBA, became a silent key. If you've ever owned a piece of RF Concepts or Mirage communications gear, you've held a piece of his life and legacy in your hands since he was a co-founder of both companies, which he started with Ken Holliday, K6HCP. Later on in life, Everett became a consultant to LDG Electronics, who, according to Everett, put out one of the greatest automatic antenna tuners on the market. They're sold worldwide. Everett was a decorated veteran. He fought in the Army in Europe in World War II, was awarded both the Bronze Star and the Silver Star for bravery in Germany. He was also recipient of the Purple Heart, and he was author of several books. He was always ready to lend a friendly hand with a good piece of advice, elmering, and plenty of wisdom, which helped many hams in need. Always seemed to have exactly what they needed to complete the project or get them back on the air. And typically, he even gave away parts used for fixing antennas and gear at no charge. Per his request, no service or memorial will be held. Instead, his ashes will be placed next to his wife, Dorothy. Everett and Dorothy Gracie had been married 70 years. And that's all from Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news, brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. And we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. All right, it's time for Smoke and Solder. So George from Jackson, my neighbor to the north, let's fire it up and get going.
Okay, Don, we fared a little better here than you did through the hurricane. I think it went a little west of us, so just a lot of rain and wind, but really not as much as we expected. Well, you know, we've been planning on building some kits here now for several weeks, and we kept having problems with people buying the kits out, so there weren't enough available, so we've kind of postponed those. But I really wanted to start building a kit this week. So here's part one of my kit building of the MFJ shortwave radio. This week on Smoke and Solder, we're going to build a kit. It's the MFJ 1800K World Band shortwave radio. Now, this is a regenerative receiver, unlike the super heterodynes that have been used in more recent years. The regenerative receiver was invented and patented by Major Edward Armstrong when he was a junior in college in 1914. You may remember that name. Edwin Armstrong is the man who invented FM radio. This is a very simple little kit and should be easy to build. There are three stages to the regenerative receiver. There's the detector oscillator, the RF amplifier, and the audio amplifier. To make construction simple, MFJ has broken this into six phases. The first phase is installing the small parts associated with the band switch and tuning. The next phase is the transistor RF amplifier and detector section. And the third phase is the IC audio amplifier. After that, we install the controls, the switches, and jacks, do the testing and initial adjustment, and then mount the final assembly into the cabinet. The first thing you should do is spend a little time becoming familiar with the instruction manual. There's a lot of good hints in there that will save you some time and help ensure that you build your kit correctly. Now, we need to go through the parts list and check off each item in order to be sure that we've got all the parts before we begin. The first items to check off are the fixed capacitors, and there's a number of those. I'm going to use a capacitor meter to kind of aid and make sure that I am reading them correctly, and you may also want a magnifying glass to help identify some of these. Next, we'll check off the resistors, and we need to be careful because the resistors and many of the inductors in this kit look very similar. However, the inductors are slightly larger, and they're packed in a separate bag. After we've sorted the resistors and inductors, we move on to the semiconductors, then the controls and connectors, and finally, the hardware and miscellaneous parts. Now we're ready to begin with construction phase one, which is installing the small parts associated with the band switch and tuning. I like to put all the components in the board first and bend their leads over, and then flip it over and solder them all. You may prefer to install and solder them one at a time, though. Usually on a board that has a solder mask and pre-tinned pads, you don't need to clean them. However, I found on this particular board, it was a little slow getting the inductors to solder. So I decided after this, I would Scotch-Brite the rest of the connections so that they would go smoother. So that completes the band switch and tuning section, with the exceptions of a couple of bigger parts they want to install later. It's time now to move to the RF amplifier and detector. Now, the previous section was fairly straightforward. You really couldn't mess that up unless you got the inductors in the wrong positions. But if you paid attention to the instructions, you should be right on. Now, there's a couple of things we need to pay particular attention to in this next section. Number one is the transistors, or FETs. These have one side that's flat. And if you'll notice on the overlay, they've drawn the flat side on there, so position them in that direction. Now, the other thing we need to watch is the electrolytic capacitors. These are polarized. Generally, they'll mark the negative terminal on the capacitor. And if we look at the overlay on the PC board here, we'll see that the positive side is marked. So just put the negative in the opposite side. Now we'll go by the checklist here and install all the components in this section of the board, checking them off as we go. Then we'll flip the board over and solder each connection. Now the solder seems to be taking much quicker now that we've cleaned the pads on the board. Oops, we've got a little problem, a solder bridge. I'll use some solder wick to remove that excess. After we're finished soldering, we'll clip all the leads back and do a quick inspection to make sure that everything looks good. Now, I really didn't talk much about soldering today. If you'd like to know more, though, go back and see my segment in Episode 9 of Ham Nation. That'll show you everything you need to know. Now, next week, we'll continue by building the audio amplifier and mounting the larger components to the board, testing and aligning the rig, and assembling it in the cabinet. So join us then when we complete the MFJ-8100K World Band Receiver. Well, does it work? We'll find that out next week, along with some more details on finishing up that kit. It's a lot of fun. That little kit's $79.95 from MFJ Enterprises, and you build it yourself. It's a lot of fun. Unlike just going and buying a shortwave receiver, you could buy one that cheaper, but when you build it yourself, it's a little bit more fun. We're talking about upcoming kit builds. Well, here's the latest. We're going to build the EtherKit 30 meter open beacon kit that's available at etherkit.com beginning September 19th, whether they have them in stock or not. We're going to get on with that project, but a lot of people have ordered it. We're really looking forward to it. After that, not sure of the date yet, but we're going to build the MFJ 913K 41 Ballon kit. You can learn more about that at mfjenterprises.com And then we're going to build the SoftRock RX-TX Ensemble Kit. You can find more information for that at 5-.com/RX-TX Ensemble. So those are some upcoming kit builds that we've got going on. If you'd like to build one at home, go check out the websites, purchase your kits, and we'll begin with that first kit, the Open Beacon, on September 19th. Now, I believe we've got Ray, our sponsor here from ICOM, with us tonight. Ray, welcome aboard.
Hey, George. Thank you for having me on with you guys. We've had a lot of fun with this contest, haven't we?
Oh, boy. We sure have a real learning experience for everyone involved. Let's just talk a quick minute about the weekly swag contest you have going on the ICOM website.
Well, each week we randomly select three of the entries that come into us on our questionnaire. Along with that, I was at the first 4 weeks trying to keep up with everything that was coming in, feeding all the feedback to you guys, as well as thanking everybody and then giving them personal emails with some links. But it eventually got a little bit too busy, and too many entries kept coming in. So it's seems like a lot of people are interested in Ham Nation.
Well, that's a good deal. So we had three winners this week. Do you happen to know who they are, or did I put you on the spot?
You put me on the spot. I'd have to take a look. It's the website itself I'm putting to the chat group right now is www.icomamerica.com Ham Nation. And on that page, you can, view last week's winners. So the drawing for week number five was November Charlie 5 India, Kilo Delta 8 Papa Whiskey Echo, and Kilo Bravo 5 Fox Juliet November.
And what did they win?
ICOM t-shirt, ICOM cap, some other swag, but also on the thank you page, I think there should be a link if you want to get some of the world maps like I've got behind me and band charts and things like that. Just shoot an email over to literaturerequest@icomamerica.com, and they'll go ahead and send you that stuff. But for the ICOM shirts and the caps, you're going to have to be drawn.
Okay, great information. Well, as Ray mentioned, we've been learning a lot about contesting here for the past few weeks. And, you know, we've been running a contest on the Smoke and Solder group at Facebook. And we ask everyone interested to post some photos of their mobile installation to an album on the group, and then have people go like that. And you would pick the top 10 for a final round here. And we've posted a poll on the Smoke and Solder group of the top 10 that had the most likes. Now, there's quite a variety of rigs in there. Ray, who was in the number one position at this time? And mind you, this can change because there's over 2,500 members to that group, and very few have voted. So we'd encourage everyone to go make your feelings known on which is the best, the most innovative, or the most unique installation. Who was in number one, Ray?
Like you, George, you were saying, it goes by, at this point, and it's by popularity. And Casey, and I'm sorry, I can't remember your last name, Casey, but Casey is in first place. Was in first place, but go onto the website, take a look at the installs. You'll find them in the photos section. And I think there's some that are in that top 10 that are just phenomenal installs. And I've seen comments come across that, oh, well, the one that's going to win has invested thousands of dollars. And reality is, it's easy to pick up used gear in a flea market and even fabricate your own antenna mounts. And there's a couple of nice HF antenna installations where the guys have taken time to really fabricate something real nice. One of the things that I hate seeing are wires. It's something in ham radio that we can't get away from for running power. And while our R&D team are working on that wireless 20-amp power supply, we just haven't quite come up with it yet. But find the best way of hiding the wires and making it look as if it was built into the vehicle is what I would love to see.
Yeah, our number one at this point is KC7CPJ, and this is his installation in a minivan. And then in number two, right behind him, is KJ4AXF, and he has a nice-looking installation. Behind that is KC9UDA. Tom, who has a simple installation here of a Kenwood TM271. And in fourth place is KC7TDG.
Oh, and wow.
Boy, what do you think about that, Gordo?
I love it. That. Man, that's real eye candy.
That's definitely what you'd call a Tower of Babel there.
Yeah, that's in fourth place at this point. Of course, all this could change with that many members if people would go vote. We'll probably see this list shake up a little bit. Number five is N1FOY, and he's got a nice installation here and a Ford GT350. And
yeah,
I
like the car more than I do the installation. That is a sweet ride.
Well, I did too, and there were some great pictures of the car on there. I'd sure like to have one of those. Whether it had a radio or not, it would be good. Number six was K4KWQ. And look at there, Ray. He's got his and her microphones.
Yeah, he does. And that's a good thing. I just wonder which one drives while the other one's talking.
Good point. Number seven was M7XS. And, you know, we can only take one picture to put on here on the show. He has more on his album there at the Facebook group. But, boy, that's a nice antenna installation for that screwdriver right there. What do you think about that, Gordo?
Yeah, I think he's got plenty of ground plane. That's for sure. He's got the big loading coil. So he's ready for DX if he's got a capacity hat on top.
Number eight was KF7SVT, and here's another simple 2-meter installation. This is with a FT2500M. And in number nine was AL6A. He's got a Kenwood TS480S there mounted on a little pedestal. That looks like a nice little convenient installation. And number 10 is NK7C. And he's got a couple of radios there. I recognize that top one. I don't know what the bottom one is, though.
It looks like it's a Motorola of some type.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it could be a
commercial
business
radio, perhaps. Yeah.
Yeah, could be modded for ham bands. Who knows? I didn't really read the comments on it before the show. And I'm not sure what that switch is to the left there, but, you know, that adds a little something to it. It's got a light, so it's bound to do something.
That's the more fire-in-the-wire switch.
Yeah. So there's our top 10 so far. These are the ones we'll be voting on, so please go to the Facebook group, the Smoke and Solder group. There's a link on the page there. And go vote. There's not that many votes on there yet, and we really want your input on which you think is the best, the most unique, or the most innovative installation of that group. So, Ray, we appreciate ICOM and all the support you're giving the show and for this radio that you're going to give one of our viewers.
Well, don't forget, it's not just me involved in this with ICOM. We also have Comet and Diamond. So any of those guys that have installs with mag mounts, you could look at some through holes or some nice deck lid mounts to give you a little bit cleaner installation too.
Yeah, have a look at them because you'll get a lot of good ideas for your own installation on there. And we're going to pick a winner next Tuesday. Ray and I will get together, and we'll see who had the most votes, and we'll announce it next week on Ham Nation. And someone is going to take home a nice IC7000 here. Ray, thanks for being with us tonight, and we'll look forward to talking with you again next week.
I'm looking forward to it as well, George, and I know we'll have a lot of emails between now and then.
I guarantee you we will. So go vote. Show your support, and let's see who gets this rig. Now, in our regular weekly Smoke and Solder contest here, I had a question last week, and a lot of people didn't seem to know the answer to this, which surprised me. And the question was, what is a hell box? And Gary Hurd knew. WR1U said, a hell box is full of miscellaneous small parts, and it's frustrating and time-consuming to find anything in it. So there you go, Gordo.
A.K.A. my garage.
Yeah. I've got a box over here, and when I've got parts left over on the bench, somebody was commenting earlier about how clean my bench is. That's where they go. If I don't have a place already established for them, I throw them in that box over there and hope I can find it later. So, Gary, congratulations. You're going to win this ARRL antenna book, a real nice book with everything you need to know about antennas. Comes with the CD-ROM in there as well. Congratulations. We're going to have some more of these in the future, so stay tuned for that. And for next week, we've got a nice prize here. This one comes from our friend Frank at CheapHam.com, and this is a QJE power supply. It's a switching power supply, I believe. What does this one go? 30 amps, so it'd be good to run your HF rig with. And if you'd like to win that, email me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com and answer this question. What did I talk about last week in Smoke and Solder? So if you think you know the answer to that one, you can't look it up on Wikipedia, but I'm sure you can find the answer. If you'd like this power supply, it's well worth sending in your email and casting your vote. So thanks, everyone. We'll have some really lucky winners next week. And Don, back to you.
All right, very good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the ICOM contest wrapping up. I get install envy when I look at the Facebook page. That's some cool stuff. And I am going to shoot a video. I've shot one not too long ago of my 7000 install on my Jeep. I need to redo it. But when you're not using Echolink on your iPhone or texting or whatever, another great thing to do on your iPhone is audible.com and the Audible books. And we have Leo to tell us about it. Leo.
Hey, Don. Hey, Bob. Hey, Gordo. Now, I know you spend a lot of time in the shack with you got the headphones on, you're DXing CQ and all that stuff. But maybe after a really intense session of ham radioing, you want to, you know, relax and read a good book. But your eyes are tired. You're sleepy. If you're like me, you get in bed, you start to read, you fall asleep before you finish one page. That's why I listen to audiobooks from audible.com in the car, at the gym, when I'm working in the yard or doing housework. You know what? You're putting up the antenna, listen to audible.com. It is a great resource because you get it kind of brings reading back into your life. 100,000 titles. I am a big history buff. I'm sure a lot of you are. I know a lot of hams love history. I've been reading a great book called The Storm of War. It's a new history of the Second World War that has lots of detail that comes from the Russian side, stuff we didn't have until the fall of the Soviet Union, and now these records are coming out. Wow, it is very good stuff, very powerful. I've read a lot of histories of World War II. This one's concise, but really, really good. But that's just one of many. Now, you might say, well, when does Leo have time to read? But that's the whole point. Audible.com means I always have time to read, because there's always those times you can't hold a book, but you could listen. And I'm a big fan. It plays back on all the phones, Android, Windows Phone, of course, iPhone, all the devices like the iPod, the iPad. They have a great iOS, Android, and Windows Phone app. I think they have BlackBerry app, too, that lets you see everything that you've ever... Now, I've been an Audible member for more than 12 years. So I have more than, I think, 600 books now. That's a library in my phone. I can listen to any of those books anytime, which is wonderful. Now, I have a subscription. I think that's the best way to do it. In fact, it's a way you can get a free book. If you visit audiblepodcast.com/hamnation, you can sign up for the gold account. That's a book a month. It's a good way to start. Absolutely. And your first month is free. That means your first book is free. You cancel it anytime. You don't have to pay anything. But it's a great way to give it a try. Because I know a lot of people go, well, I don't know. Am I going to enjoy an audiobook? I don't know. Great for kids, by the way, for young adults. It's a really good way to get them reading. I found that with my son, Henry. He just loves Audible. Audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. Give it a try. Your first book's free when you visit that website. And we thank Audible very much for supporting Ham Nation. It's really nice. Audiblepodcast.com/ Ham Nation. Sometimes you don't want to talk. You just want to listen. Here's a couple of guys who love to talk. Back to you, Donna Gordo.
Oh, wow.
Yes, we do. Oh, look, there's Gordon West and Bob Heil, the early days. Look at that. That's nice, you know, huh?
That is one of my original receivers, and we're all waiting for George to build that super regenerative receiver, because my question would be for everybody for next week, how far can you hear a super regen just on receive? And as George will tell you, they all emit a little bit of signal. And with that antenna right there tied into a super regen receiver, I bet we can hear George newly put together MFJ super regen receiver for maybe 5 to 10 blocks. What do you think, George?
Well, I think you could be right there. You know, a regenerative receiver is known not only as being a receiver, but also a nice little QRP rig. I think MFJ did some improvements on this particular one, though, so it's not quite as bad at spurious radiation coming out the antenna.
Go back to that shot for a sec, Alex. Look at that. That's the first set of Heil headphones, I think, ever done. And right there is volume one of Gordon West exam prep. Right there. You're seeing it. That's history. Right there you go. Of course, the Heil speaker and the headphones and Gordon West, the number one of the exam books right there. That's history, ladies and gentlemen, right here on Ham Nation, the only place you'll see that.
Yeah,
let's bring Cheryl. What do you think of? I'm sorry. Go ahead, George.
I was going to say, you can't see me in the photo. I was off to the right-hand side there, pulling a new load of wagon with batteries in it to kind of power that rig.
Good for you. All right, Cheryl, let's get into the chat room and see what's going on with the chat guys. We've got 2 or 3 minutes to do that. So some of the best questions, and hit us with them.
I'll tell you what, I can do that. Anyway, I did want to just say a big thank you to John Amadeo, who sent me this card right here, this QSL card. He's the producer from Last Man Standing. He sent me this, which will be on my backdrop for the next Ham Nation show. I thought that was really great. His real call, NN6JA, but this is nice. Thank you so much. Goes out to John. And another thing is, on September 15th, there will be a Ham Fest at Belvedere called Radio Expo. It's a one-day show only. It used to be 2 days. This is his first debut for a one-day show, and I'll be there with a table and things. So please stop by and say hello, everyone, if you're in the area. So here's our first question that we have here, and it's going to go out to Gordo. KE6SIS wants to know, Gordo, if you run a 40-meter net at 8 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, he thinks he heard you this morning. Thanks.
Okay, we do. It's actually 8:30 California time, 7250 kilohertz, and we have contacts all over the West Coast on 7250. In fact, from Kingman, Arizona, they're inviting all Ham Nation visitors to come to their Kingman get-together, Big Ham Fest, this coming Saturday as well. So, yes, we're on the air every morning, 8:30 California time.
Well, we're glad that you are, Gordo. That's great. Another thing is a quick comment, George. Like you said, it was KF5FEI Bill. He said your bench is too clean. And another person in the chat room, KA20FM, he said that a clean bench makes it look like it's just not used. So perhaps dirty it up next time a little bit, or get some project going. It looks too good to be true. So that was a comment. And we also have one other person, Bill, that's KF5FEI. He says, anyone had good or bad reports on the max gain telescoping fiberglass mask? George, maybe you might be able to take that.
Well, on the bench, you know, I use it because you see some of the things that I do with it. But I always clean it off before the show because we don't want to frighten any children. But I don't use
or adults.
Fiberglass. I don't use fiberglass mask myself, but it sounds like a topic for Gordon West.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of students that live in antenna-challenged homes, and out back they put up their fiberglass masts. In fact, Julian has a big mast on the backside of his property. Nobody can see it. Not quite fiberglass, but anything that you can take up and put back down where other homeowners won't see you, this is good.
Perfect. Thank you very much for that answer there, Gordo. And one last quick question for you, Don. This is the final tonight from comes in from N3HQB. He says, how long was your power off, Don?
48 hours, thereabouts. A little. It went off about 8 o'clock Tuesday morning and came back on about 8 o'clock Thursday night. So that was how long it was. And we had the generator going, so kept a couple of refrigerators in the AC. And for a while, even ran the computers and the TV with it. So I had DSL for a while until the phone went out the next day.
Wow, and coffee, too, to go with it, I'm sure.
Well, oh, yeah.
Thanks so much, everyone, for your questions. We appreciate it. Nice to have everybody on board here. And come and join us next time on Ham Nation. Have a great night. This is K9BIK.
Thank you, Cheryl.
73.
Thank you, as always. Appreciate you. And we're missing Amanda tonight, but we're just about to the end of things. Got about a minute left on the official time here. So, George, any final words tonight?
Final words. So long. Join us on the nets. We've got the 40-meter net is going to be on 7.268. The 20-meter net's on 14.268. If you want to do digital, check out Echo Link at Star Do Drop In Star. That's node 355-800. D-Star Reflector 14 Module C. Or listen with your web browser at WX480X.com/listen. See you next week, where we're going to give one of these radios to some lucky viewer.
Yeah, and thanks to all of the net controllers that help us out. Gordon, any final words from you tonight, my friend?
Well, you can hear we're on 40 meters.
Watching live on Twitch.
And there's Mike, our net controller tonight, 7268. We have thunderstorms and lightning crashes in the background, so Don, you'll feel right at home. 73, everyone, hear you on 7268.
We're almost ready to begin the net, averaging around 60 or more check-ins every week.
Yeah, I'm about ready for all that to end. In fact, Isaac has split into two parts. One piece is up by the Great Lakes, and there's another piece right down off the coast in the Gulf of Mexico that may generate into something tropical. And if it does, it's going to be called Nadine. So we'll see how that goes. But Cheryl, thank you for the chat room. Thank you for being here tonight. Ray Novak, thank you for all of your support and with ICOM and everyone else here. So we're going to go ahead and put a wrap on it tonight. And we'll see you all next week right here on Ham Nation. So good night from South Mississippi, everybody. 73 from AE5DW.
Bell.net. And stating to be added to the roster. If you would like to find yourself on the roster, you can go to my Yahoo group. That's HamNation40. HamNation40 on Yahoo group. You will find a copy of the next year's check-in.